This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Public health experts in North Carolina say this state is still in the early stages of its COVID-19 outbreak. In other words, the situation will get worse before it gets better. Governor Cooper's statewide stay-at-home order went into effect last night. It closes non-essential businesses and state parks and prohibits gatherings larger than 10 people, all of which in an effort, of course, to prevent the spread of the virus. Will Michaels is with us to share the latest reporting on COVID-19 in North Carolina. He's the Daily News producer for WUNC. Welcome back, Will.
Hey, Frank.
Statewide stay-at-home order went into effect last night. Talk about what it includes, will you?
Yeah, it's a pretty comprehensive list of which businesses can stay open and which can't. Of course, it's been 2 weeks to the day that restaurants and bars first had to close down. They're only open for takeout and delivery to this day. But it does go through some of the essential businesses, as you said, like grocery stores, pharmacies. Construction is actually also included in that, which could explain why the home improvement store near you is still open. But it does limit those gatherings. It gives sort of a statewide guidance to counties, which, as you may remember, in the past week or so, had been implementing their own stay-at-home orders. This gives, as Governor Roy Cooper says, some uniformity for the entire state. And it is actually enforceable, and it actually is worth including that local governments, if their stay-at-home orders are stricter than the state, it actually residents have to follow those local stay-at-home orders. We've seen police actually arrest a group of protesters in Greensboro who were protesting outside an abortion clinic over the past few days because it violated Guilford County's stay-at-home order. So it is enforceable as well.
All right. And let's talk about the tone and the way that has changed. Certainly state officials have been taking this very seriously from the start. But even now, it seems to me the tone has changed even a bit since those early days. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, I think this really speaks to the upward trend, as you were talking about, North Carolina being in the early stages of its outbreak. State health officials are really taking this opportunity. I've noticed them become a little bit more forceful in the last few days. Of course, as you say, they have been pushing strict social distancing measures for the past few weeks. But now, State Health and Human Services Secretary Dr. Mandy Cohen, in her latest press conference, was, to me, a little bit more forceful. Here's what she had to say.
We do not have vaccines or treatment. Social distancing is the only tool we have to slow the spread of COVID-19 so fewer people get sick at the same time and so we don't overwhelm our hospitals. I can't stress it enough. Your actions matter. Staying home matters. Staying home will save lives.
That was State Health and Human Services Secretary Dr. Mandy Cohen speaking at a news conference about the stay-at-home order. And, of course, she used the words, she said, we're at war in that same news conference. So a very different turn now in the way that we're approaching this virus. How do you expect the numbers of cases and hospitalizations? This is the big question. Of course, no one can quite answer this. But give us a sense of what you're hearing in terms of the trajectory, hospitalizations over the next few weeks.
Well, you're right. It's really hard to get a good number on this. And, you know, some universities like the University of Washington have put out their own analysis saying that it appears they've done state by state analyses to show that it appears in North Carolina anyway, our cases appear to be peaking around late April. So we're still about 3 weeks off from the peak, according to the University of Washington. But that's assuming a lot of different things. It's assuming that there are some people who are staying home who do have the virus. And we are pretty sure that that's the case, given new CDC guidelines. But suffice it to say, it's clear from the experts that I've talked to that the numbers are still on the upswing and that they certainly have not peaked yet. But that peak could be in the next 2 to 3 weeks. It'll become a little bit more clear, of course, as the days go by and as our testing capability ramps up and as our testing capability gets a little bit better day by day. We are also, of course, going to see those positive cases numbers go up. And, you know, the testing priority is for people who are showing symptoms or and who have already sought medical treatment. So it's pretty clear that those cases, those hospitalization numbers are still on the upswing, and they're going to continue to be so, unfortunately, for the next few weeks.
Yeah. You mentioned testing in North Carolina. Give us the state of testing now. Are they readily available? I know there's, you know, sort of triage in terms of who's going to get them, but are they readily available? And what about the processing time? Do we know?
Right. Well, the state health lab, state public health lab, says that there is no backlog for them in testing. Of course, they are not the only ones doing testing. University systems, UNC Health, has its own way of doing testing at its facilities now. But, you know, I'm hearing a few different things from the state public health. Well, from UNC Health, they're saying that they can get results in a matter of hours. But I'm also hearing, you know, anecdotally from people who are saying it takes days or up to a week for me to get my test results back. So I think there's a few different ways. It just really depends on where the test goes. LabCorp, of course, which is a North Carolina company, as you may know, is testing. They say they have the capacity to test about 20,000 samples per day, but that's for the entire country. So as you say, there are a few different factors here. But again, the CDC guidelines have this sort of triage for who should be tested. And really, as we get into the mitigation phase, or in other words, trying to slow the spread of this virus, testing is just, according to state health officials, not going to be as important as the people who are coming into the hospital, and that we don't overwhelm our healthcare system. 80% of people who get this virus will probably be just get mild symptoms and be able to stay at home. But as Dr. Mandy Cohen said, you know, about 20% of people will probably need some sort of hospital care, not necessarily ICU care, but some sort of treatment. And that's much, much higher than, say, the seasonal flu.
Well, and 20% of a rapidly growing number of infections that we're seeing now. And in fact, we're going to get, I think, later today, we're expecting the statistical models that'll give us a sense of just how far this can go and what we can expect. And we're being prepared for these models. The picture is not good. So the question then is, what if these rates of infection don't improve? What could happen next?
Yeah, it's a really good question. Dr. Mandy Cohen, the State Health and Human Services Secretary, was asked that at her latest press conference as well. And she was sort of noncommittal, but really what state officials have been saying throughout this entire process and reminding us on a daily basis is that this is a fluid situation. Things change daily, which is why you've seen things like the closures of restaurants and bars to in-person dining, and this the closure of public schools until May 15th, and the statewide stay-at-home order coming into effect on sort of a rolling basis, because, as they say, they want to get this right, but they want to act as quickly as possible. So they didn't say exactly what other restrictions they might be considering. But I would expect that if things do get really bad, that certainly they could take some other action. But they really just did not say what that action might be.
All right. Now we're trying to get this under control, of course, and we're seeing the economic impact spread across the country. We've seen record numbers of unemployment insurance filing. So to talk about what you've seen happening there in terms of unemployment in North Carolina.
Yeah, we just got the latest numbers from the State Commerce Department today, and they said since March 16th, which was a Monday, and it was the day before restaurants and bars were ordered to close for in-person dining, they've had more than 300,000 applications for unemployment benefits since then. So it's been about 2 weeks since then. To give you some context, they usually process 3,000 to 4,000 applications per week. On a good day, but about a week and a half ago, they were getting up to a point where they were processing 35,000 applications per day. That gives you a little bit of an idea of how bad the layoffs have been. You know, when we first got into this outbreak in North Carolina, I was talking to experts who said that they were predicting, you know, about somewhere between 10,000 and 100,000 upwards job losses. It looks like we've well surpassed that number, because the State Commerce Department says about 90% of all those unemployment benefits are due to COVID-19.
And as we know, there are still many people who are on the job. They are considered essential. And we're thinking about those essential workers now being exposed while the rest of the state is under strict social distancing. Talk about the city of Raleigh sanitation workers.
Yeah, there's a local union, and I should say not a union in the traditional sense, because North Carolina law basically blocks collective bargaining, but a union that represents local sanitation workers who sent a list of demands to the city of Raleigh, saying that their workers don't feel like the city is protecting them well enough from this pandemic. They say they've gotten a 5% boost in hourly pay since the pandemic started. They don't believe that that's enough. They want to have staggered shifts, because they say that they are still in garbage trucks with two, sometimes three other people in a very small cab that they don't believe is very adequate social distancing. I spoke to one Raleigh sanitation worker, Mike Robinson, and here's what he had to say.
We do a tough job. We do a thankless job that's not really appreciated until we don't do it. And we are very much in tune and concerned with continuing to serve the residents. However, our safety is paramount. We have to make sure that we are 100% to continue to serve the residents at a level of 100%. And our safety is not really being taken into consideration. And, we're very concerned right now.
That's Raleigh sanitation worker Mike Robinson. So, Will, how is the city of Raleigh responding to these concerns?
So the city has told me that they are taking, they defended the 5% hourly increase, saying that that was a proactive measure that only Raleigh and Durham have taken. They say that they are staggering shifts a little bit more starting this week, meaning that they are going to have people come in on a rolling basis into the office rather than having, say, hundreds of people coming in at once. They are starting next week going to lower the number of people in the truck to 2, but they say they need time to adjust those routes in order to put those measures into place.
Will Michaels, WUNC Daily News Producers. Thank you so much, Will.
Thanks, Frank.